Bonjour. Oh, wow. Well, then I can go with it. I said to myself, because we have PhD students here, I can just speak in French. No. Good morning, and I'm honored by the opportunity to share with you all this morning. I'm grateful to the chapel office for inviting me. Our community has been blessed these past months with messages of encouragement, exploring the theme of abiding in Christ. John 15 issues an invitation to take residence in the Lord and be continuously settled in Him. This invitation is issued in the context of Jesus going away. That's about chapter 14 through 17. That His going away is for the disciples' good because they will be more united with Him by the Spirit. John 14 talks about the coming of the Holy Spirit and the Spirit abiding with the disciples. And then John 15 goes to talk about the Spirit giving the disciples an organic unity with Him and with one another. So, as I have been thinking about sharing this morning, I felt led to look at three different points related to our unity in Christ. So first, I'm going to talk about the gift of life. Then I will share about the privilege of undergoing pruning. And then I'll share about the blessing of bearing fruit. A lot of things I'm going to share are a reminder of what we already know. But repetition is good for us as God's children. I hope for you too. And the cassava tree, it's not as tall as the trees here. It's a tree that grows in Congo and in Florida, will serve as an illustration of what I'm going to share this morning. In some African countries, like my Congo, the cassava tree produces leaves that we cook like spinach. Now, if you don't like spinach, I promise you will really like cassava leaves. And it also produces tubers that we cook like potatoes. In my country, pounded cassava leaves is one of the national foods. When a cassava plant is rooted in good soil, it gets from it all its nutrients, its sustenance, everything it needs to grow strong and healthy. And the cassava branches need to stay attached to the tree to be sustainable and to continue to flourish. Planting cassava leaves, and I have to say I still plant cassava leaves here in Wilmore, planting cassava leaves bring the vine and its branches story in John 15 alive in my mind. Once we are in Christ, we get all that we need from Him. We are invited to abide, to dwell, to be fully present with the Lord. Jesus becomes the source of our everything, the source of our very life. And this leads me to my first point, the gift of life. God invites us into a relationship with Him that lasts into eternity. He calls us into a partnership where we stay connected to Him at all times, a place where we remain, we tarry with Him. For us to be able to do that, we need to get our spiritual nourishment from Him, just like the branches that stay connected to the vine. We need to feed our souls by taking the time to listen and know God through His Word, by sitting at His feet and conversing with Him daily in prayer. Spiritual practices and means of grace are available to us to lay hold of and grow in being fully present with the Lord. Deuteronomy 30:19 says, "Today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make, or that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live." Abiding in Christ gives us the freedom to choose life. There is no life in us unless we are connected to Jesus, accepting him and dwelling in his presence. Eugene Peterson translates John 15:6 this way: "Anyone who separates from me is dead wood, gathered up and thrown on the bonfire." When we lived in a village named Vuti, and my father worked as a railroad employee, he spent a lot of his time, free time, talking to people about Jesus. There was a man, his name was Tamangwembele, who spent his life seeking after pagan gods. And he became a Christian probably in his late 50s, early 60s. He was very excited about his new faith and persevered for a while. One day, he talked to the elders of the church and told them something like this: "In every job, people take a vacation. I have been a Christian for some time now. I'm going to take a couple of months vacation, and I will come back to God." The elders, including my father, told him that following Christ was not a job, but a lifelong commitment, like being part of a family, like a cassava branch being connected to the tree. They urged him to remain in Christ because without him, there was no life at all. But Tamangwembele persisted in his new conviction. He stopped coming to church, so no fellowship, no community. He stopped reading the Bible and praying, no spiritual growth. He went on for a few weeks, and all was going well for him. He would talk about the day that he would come back to God. What he did not know was that his last day was drawing near. Tamangwembele was bitten by a snake. In Congo, we have poisonous snakes. And he died. He passed before he could come back to God and God's church. I look at the end of Tamangwembele's life as someone who died twice. He died spiritually because he did not remain in the Lord. Then he died physically. Henry Nouwen said, "We do not take the spiritual life seriously if we do not set aside some time to be with God and listen to him." Tamangwembele did not take his relationship with God seriously. He did not cling to God for dear life. As long as the branches of a cassava leaves are attached to the tree, the life from the tree supports the branches. The tree makes the branches strong. There is no life in the branches apart from the life that comes from the tree. So, a branch needs to be attached completely to the tree to thrive. If not, it doesn't develop to its full capacity, and its very survival is at stake. When we disconnect ourselves from God, like Tamangwembele did, we start dying slowly. We need to be plugged back in Christ in order to flourish, no matter the circumstances. God loves us, is always available, and always ready to welcome us and spend time with us. One illustration. The other day, as I was paying my groceries at IGA, usually things are very quiet there, I saw my grandson through the window. I got all excited, and he hadn't seen me yet. The people inside IGA were like, "This is interesting." They could see my excitement. So I went to the window and I started to wave widely. And then when Eden saw me, he asked for permission from the person he was with. And after obtaining permission, he ran into IGA shouting, "Meme, meme!" And I ran to him shouting, "Eden, Eden!" I scooped him into my arms and kissed his face. Eden ran to me with reckless abandonment. He didn't think about, what am I going to say to Meme? How do I start the conversation? Even how would I react when she sees me? He knew that his meme loved him, and that was enough. God waits for us to run to him with that kind of reckless abandonment, and to run to him daily. You know why? Because he's as excited to see us as and hear us as a mom or a dad or a grandparent running to meet their child. After all, he's our master and he teaches us how to be parents. This image gives us a window into God's beautiful love. As we remain in Jesus, we find joy, meaning, and life itself, abundant life that springs into eternity. Abiding helps us to stay connected to the source of life without whom we cannot bear fruit. Now that we are connected to the Lord, we have life, everything is going well, something good is happening, and we are bearing fruit, then why do we need pruning? Well, I'm glad you asked. This will take us to our second point. Like any other tree, a cassava tree needs a good gardener who will take care of the soil for the vibrant life of the tree. As the tree thrives, the branches develop into luscious greenery. Jesus says in John 15:2, he cuts off, that is the gardener, every branch of mine that doesn't produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. As a gardener, I have to deadwood any branch that is sick or any branch that is dead, so that the nutrients will go to feed the healthy branches. When I plant a cassava in my garden, I prune them to get a better yield. Pruning promotes root development and plant health and helps the tree to send new branches. The result of pruning is a better yield. Now, the pain of pruning, if I were a branch, I think I would say, oh, ouch, that is painful. I'm just thinking. But the pain of pruning is necessary for the branches to bear more fruit. Sometimes the struggles we face help us to mature, to experience the fact that there is no growth without pain. Like Hebrews 12:11 says, no discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterward, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained in this way. Abiding doesn't mean that life will become easy. Branches experience rain, strong wind, hail, snow, ice, scorching heat, and pruning. They do not abandon the tree because of that. Actually, these difficulties prompt them to remain attached all the more, because leaving the tree will mean certain death for the branches. When hardship comes our way, how do we react? Do we remain attached to God, getting strength and all that we need from him? Or do we distance ourselves from him, trying to do all by our own strength, which can lead us to lose sight of the one who is our pillar? Emilien Nyangi Lubota was born in Congo Brazzaville on the onset of the fight for Congo to become independent. She gave her life to Christ and was baptized as a teenager. She felt God's call to become a pastor. Unfortunately, in middle school, she came across a practice that is still going on in many African countries today, a practice that demeans young women, sex for grade. Her teachers started pursuing her to exchange sexual favors for grades. But her love for God was stronger than her love for education. So at age 17, Emilien quit school instead of compromising her integrity and sinning against God. Emilienne's courage and obedience to the Lord in a situation where there was no human help did not quell her strong sense of calling to pastoral ministry. Her parents couldn't help her. The police didn't say anything. They didn't even intervene. So Emilienne devoted herself to God's work in her local church. She led Bible studies and was a leader in the church's choir, and she continued to feed her intellect as best as she could. There were not a lot of books, especially at that time. She worked under Pastor Bavi Bidila, who oversaw 5 parishes. Her call to serve the Lord full-time grew in intensity. Though she did not know how she would become a shepherd of God's people, Emilienne prayed for God to fulfill his call in her life. One day, Pastor Bavi Bidila decided that he was going to recommend Emilienne, a woman unheard of in the Evangelical Church of Congo at that time. He was going to recommend Emilienne as well as 2 young men as candidates for the pastoral examination. Emilienne was the only of the 3 who passed the exam. At the age of 19, Emilienne started her classes as the first woman to train at the Mansimu Seminary to become a pastor. This was a turning point in Emilienne's life and in the Evangelical Church of Congo's history. She captured the heart of women, including myself, when she graduated as the first woman pastor in the Evangelical Church of Congo with her motto, "The hour of women has come. We need to serve the Lord, not only me, but all women after me." And after her, many women freely expressed themselves to become pastors. Emilienne's life shows us that willingness to be pruned leads to a surrendered life and a greater transformation in us. God is our dwelling place. Psalm 91, 1-2 says, "He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, who abides in the shadow of the Almighty, will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." The Lord is our dwelling place, our hiding place, the place where we find cover and protection no matter what hardship we face. John Mark Comer, in his book, The Ruthless Elimination of Hurry, says this: "Our days of pain are the building blocks of our character, our crucible of Christ's likeness." Abiding gives us the freedom to thrive in spite of challenges, because the Lord is our refuge and our fortress. We end up bearing more fruit than if we have stayed unpruned. And this leads me to my last point, the blessing of bearing fruit. Bearing fruit is crucial to the survival of every species on earth. Just as humans need to reproduce for our continuity on this earth, it's the same thing for us as Christians. We need to multiply. As we remain in God, who is our dwelling place, then we can bear fruit, the fruit that Galatians 5:22-23 talks about. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things. And God blesses us with even more fruits as we stay connected to Him. One day, after reading the book of Revelation, Jacques Musunga knelt on the dirt floor of his room and gave his life to Jesus. From that day forward, his life was changed. Even though he ended up working for the railroad company, he did not work. He did a lot of work as an evangelist, sharing Christ with all he encountered, and many became believers because of him. He was more than once mistaken for a pastor because of his love for God and his passion for God's work. He was gifted in his hospitality. His house was always open. His wife always cooked, even when she was not prepared. He would bring people in. He prayed for the sick, and they were healed. He taught Bible study. He helped many to discern God's call in their lives. One time, when he moved to a new position, he entered the office, and there was a fetish at the door. It was the head of a dead animal, and that was supposed to kill him. It was put there by his new boss. Jacques Musunga entered the office and said loudly, "Your fetish has no power over me in the name of Jesus." And he worked there for many years. He did not die there. And when he was at death's door, when his time came, Jacques Musunga said with conviction, "If I was asked to start my life over, I would again put myself in God's service." Jacques Musunga is an example of a soldier of faith, as he was called, somebody who bore much fruit because he remained, no matter the circumstance. And because bearing fruit is closely linked to abiding, there is no room for pride. There is no room for arrogance from us. It is God's gift, like Jacques Musunga learned throughout his life. The fruit that the Holy Spirit produces in us is different from the fruit that the world produces. Jesus cautions his disciples in Matthew 7:15-20, "Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but are really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit, that is, by the way they act. Can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit, and a bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down, thrown into the fire. Yes, just as you can't identify a tree by its fruit, so you can identify people by their actions." Jacques Musunga bore great fruit for the gospel throughout his life as a child of God. But I think a greater truth is this. Because Jacques Musunga remained in the Lord, God brought much fruit through his life. As one of his seven children, I saw my father, Jacques Musunga, live out his faith with joy and surrender. His Bible daily opened his heart alive with the presence of God. I witnessed the power of God through his ministry. And I wished, no, I prayed, because God takes our wishes like prayer, that I will be loved by God the way my father was, and that I will love God the way my father loved God. And by the grace of God, I know that God loves me and he loves you, and he has given us the love to be able to love him back. Through him, we bear much fruit for the kingdom. To abide is to be known by God, the source of our life, and to know him. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, before you faced the cross, you prayed for us, for all who will ever believe in you through the message of the disciples. You prayed that we will remain in you and be united. Help us to do just that through your Holy Spirit and by the grace of God. Amen.